A Chain of Evidence by Carolyn Wells. Chapter 1. The Girl Across the Hall. I do hate changes, but when my sister Laura, who keeps house for me, determined to move further uptown, I really had no choice in the matter but to acquiesce. I am a bachelor of long standing, and it's my opinion that the way to manage women is simply to humor their whims. And since Laura's husband died, I've been rather more indulgent to her than before. Anyway, the chief thing to have in one's household is peace. And I found I secured that easily enough by letting Laura do just as she liked, and as in return she kept my home comfortable and pleasant for me. I considered that honors were even. Therefore, when she decided we would move, I made no serious objection, at least not in advance. Had I known what apartment hunting meant, I should have refused to leave our Gramercy Park home. But uptown and West Side represented to Laura the Mecca of her desires, and I unsuspectingly agreed to her plans. Then the campaign began. Early every morning, Laura scanned the papers for new advertisements. Later every morning, she visited agents, and then spent the rest of the day inspecting apartments. Then evenings were devoted to summing up the experiences of the day and preparing to start afresh on the morrow. She was untiring in her efforts, always hopeful, and indeed positive that she would yet find the one apartment that combined all possible advantages and possessed no objectionable features. At first I went with her on her expeditions, but I soon saw the futility of this, and in a sudden excess of independence I declared I would have no more to do with the search. She might hunt as long as she chose. She might decide upon whatever home she chose, but it must be without my advice or assistance. I expressed myself as perfectly willing to live in the home she selected, but I refused to trail round in search of it. Being convinced of my determination, my sister accepted the situation and continued the search by herself. But evenings I was called upon as an advisory board to hear the result of the day's work and to express an opinion. According to Laura, it required a careful balancing of location and conveniences, of neighborhood and modern improvements, before the momentous question should be decided. Does an extra bathroom equal one block further west? Is an onyx-lined entrance greater than a buttoned hallboy? Are palms in the hall worth more than a red velvet handrail with tassels? These were the questions that racked her soul, and sympathetically mine. Then the name. Laura declared that the name was perhaps the most important factor of all, a name that could stand alone at the top of one's letter paper, without the support of a street number, was indeed an achievement. But strangely enough, such a name proved to be a very expensive proposition, and Laura put it aside with a resigned sigh. Who does name the things anyway? Not the man who invents the names of the Pullman cars, for they are of quite a different sort. Well, it all made conversation, if nothing more. I wish you would express a preference, Otis, Laura would say. Then I would obligingly do so, being careful to prefer the one I knew was not her choice. I did this from the kindest of motives, in order to give the dear girl an opportunity, which I knew she wanted, to argue against my selection and in favor of her own. Then I ended by being persuaded to her way of thinking, and that settled the matter for the time. Of course, she would say, if you're never going to marry, but always live with me, you ought to have some say in the selection of our home. I don't expect to marry, I returned, that is, I have no intention of such a thing at present, but you never can tell. The only reason I'm not married is because I've never seen the woman I wanted to make my wife, but I may yet do so. I rather fancy that if I ever fall in love,